Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming back in. My name is Jolaine Marsh, and I'm just moderating this panel today. The panel consists of John Wood of the San Francisco Late Night Coalition, and he's going to give us an update on what they've been up to and some of the great work that they've done in the past.
Hi, everybody.
And just one second. This session, unlike the others, we will be taking questions throughout his talk. So if you have something that you want to say on something he says immediately, put your hand up and I'll try to catch you as we go rather than waiting till the end.
Yeah, I'm going to present a lot of information. So rather than me speak for 20 minutes and then us trying to rush in questions, let's sort of moderately stop me all along. We actually got the title wrong. I was calling it Think Global, Dance Local. And part of what I'm trying to get at is the fact that dancing, which seems pretty innocuous, is now part of a cultural war that's going on in the United States. So we're no longer just a bunch of freaks in warehouses and clubs doing our thing. We've got to deal with this interaction between very high-level propaganda and high-level money that's coordinated and the local laws that actually, you know, structure what we do, that we have a little bit more control over. So I'm going to be going back and forth between this level. Some of this stuff you guys already know, but I want to quickly outline, you know, what I see happening. You know, there's no question that there's a market ripple down effect that's occurring from the feds. You know, we kind of laugh about glow stick stuff and water bottles, and you know, we keep doing our thing, but I'm seeing the putting in place of a structure out there that, you know, is still kind of out there rather than in here, but it's getting more and more pervasive. You know, we've watched this happen from the government funding research, selective research that's not meant to answer scientific questions but is meant to get data that they can use, you know, for their own purposes. Also, we see the funding of the PR apparatus that spreads this kind of research around. And then also on the federal level, we have these conferences that are sponsored in localities where the federal drug people and their PR people come in, they get all the local police, they invite the parents in for these conferences, and they push this same model of what we're doing very invasively into the local level in, you know, situations where maybe even the local police really didn't care. They let events like this go on for years. They've been through them. They look around. They know it's not some horrible thing, but it's being pushed so aggressively that it's provoking more aggressive reactions against us on the local level. So it's something that we have to find a way to deal with. I don't know that we really completely have found a way to deal with it yet, but I don't think we can just think of this anymore as a local level issue. What we've also got with the federal government is the funding that's coming through the federal government actually down into localities also to target us on these specific activities. So not only are they doing providing the research, providing the PR, doing the conferences, they're even putting money to hire additional officers on the local level. And then in addition to that, there've been the institution of specific task forces. In the Bay Area, we have a methamphetamine task force and an MDMA task force that are combinations of DEA agents, ABC, that's the state alcohol people, and the local narcotics officers. So this is all going on right now. Last weekend, we had these task forces were in both the licensed clubs in San Francisco and also in underground venues, and arrests were made in clubs and underground venues. Small drug arrests that wouldn't normally even be, you know, 2 years ago, this kind of stuff would have been, maybe not even, people wouldn't even been arrested by the SFPD. And here you're getting confronted with DEA agents now. So this is all pretty unprecedented, and the level of coordination of it all is pretty unprecedented. even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when the police were the club wars in San Francisco, what really was going on was kind of a out of control permit bureaucracy that a few people within it were able to manipulate the ambiguity of the permit laws in order to go after certain clubs that they didn't like. Sometimes they brought in the local narcotics officers in order to get some evidence against them, but I never saw anything that I thought was coordinated by narcotics. And so what's happened in San Francisco is that, of course, you know, you guys all know the San Francisco Late Night Coalition. We formed a political action committee, and we have done a lot of lobbying, a lot of PR work, a lot of raising funds, supporting local officials, and, you know, analysis of the laws, so that we confronted those permit bureaucrats that were, you know, because there's two levels of what we're confronted with. One is the bureaucratic level of, you know, the fire department can come in here and say, you guys don't have any permits, you're shut down. So you got that element of how they can shut us down, and then also there's ultimately the drug war, the drug laws that can be used against us if they want to do that. A lot of this is still experimental on their part. You know, they've floated the crack house prosecution. It didn't really work. They floated the state rave act. We shot that down. They floated the first national rave act. They shot that down. You know, but they keep coming back with a new strategy. And so we have to assume that at some point they're going to try these kind of things again. You know, we don't know who, where. We don't know if it's the big clubs. We don't know if it's a big rave promoter, you know. But it's clear that it's happening. And with it's definitely expanded with the year that Bush has been in office, even though a lot of this stuff was started during the Clinton administration. This past year, there's a whole nother level of coordination. And we don't even know to what extent they're going to manipulate all this new powers of surveillance that they supposedly use for terrorism. You know, those same people are going to be using it to do, you know, whatever they want, because it's all really about social control, and it's about the expansion of federal power deeply into localities. That's ultimately what it comes down to. And somehow our innocuous thing of dancing is caught in the middle of this huge cultural war. So that's the situation, you know, that we're dealing with. We all know it. Yeah. In some ways, it's not. One thing I'll talk about a little bit later is the interesting thing where I'm working for a rave promoter who, in order to do his event at Bill Graham Auditorium, the police from their first event, they didn't need any off-duty police. Second event, they needed 15. Boom, boom, boom. Now it's up to 50 in order to do their event. I went to the night before New Year's, I went to the string cheese incident at Bill Graham Auditorium. They didn't need any. They didn't need any off-duty cops. And they're basically they've inherited the Grateful Dead. 10 years ago, this same what they're doing now, they were doing then in that version of it against the Grateful Dead. The Grateful Dead was the boogeyman, bringing all the drugs into the local areas, and you know, the same. So a lot of it's not new. It's just that this is the new version of it. They already played that one out, and now the rave and ecstasy thing it's a social control mechanism. You know, so in that level, it's not new. It's the same thing of control of the young people, and you know, it's targeted towards drugs that are the more consciousness-raising drugs. I haven't even heard in the last 6 months. I've I've heard about high-level ecstasy bust, methamphetamine, GHB. I haven't heard about a big cocaine bust or a big heroin bust, although the streets are filled with it, you know. So it's not new. It's just that the level of coordination and the level of interpenetration into localities is something I've never seen before. And you know, it's it's because they can, but we've got some pretty seriously fucked up people in our government right now. You know, I don't think the people that were in charge of the Clinton government had quite this agenda as the people that are in charge now. So yeah, they're different philosophically, and they can, until something happens that it stops. People may go crazy tomorrow. You know, all over the world today are huge demonstrations. So there, what happens with the Republicans, and the same thing happened with the Contract of America. When they get power and they haven't had it for a while, they go on a feeding frenzy, and they push it as far as they can. And they know that at some point they're going to get pushed back. But just like with the Contract of America, they really tried to push it, and then they got pushed back, and the Clinton people took power, and the Republicans hated it. They have 8 years. They just tried to get rid of Clinton. Now they got power, and they're on a feeding frenzy, and they're going to push it until Americans push back. And it may take the war that's going to, you know, people are going to realize, oh, my God, these people are just trashing all of our civil liberties. You know, so strangely, we're in the middle of that, because we're the cash cow of the drug war that is useful to them for many other social control purposes.
You have a question?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to start off by making, you know, people realize what I am seeing happening now that it's very recent. I mean, I've been dealing with I haven't had really in what I do. I deal with a lot of cops, but I haven't really had to deal with the narcotics cops. And all of a sudden, the narcotics cops are out here and about, and they're a whole different version of cop than the ones that I've been dealing with that are like UC-educated bureaucrat cops. And they're almost like politicians, and they understand the nature of the community that they're policing. But there's a middle level layer of cop. I read I'll get to that in a minute. But so the rest of the presentation is going to be about the strategies of where we resisted, and there is a lot of success that's happened. And so I don't want to totally, you know, freak everybody out, but I do think we all have to be really aware right now of what we're doing, and not assume that we're underground, because I think that's a faulty assumption. There, last summer, we saw examples in which things were very coordinated. They would bust a rave in Mendocino, and the people would move it to another county south, and the cops up there were checking the websites and calling the cops 200 miles away. We don't know if they're connected through a task force. They probably are. You know, but that level of coordination is something that's very new. We've not dealt with that before. We got our parties got busted. We move it somewhere else and have the party. You know, we didn't have to deal with the possibility of a state task force that's communicating between counties about what we're trying to do. So it's all new, and I want people to be aware of that. You know, and then we'll get to what we can do. So there's. Oh, go ahead.
So I think, though, maybe going back to Louis' question about, you know, where it was this way in the past, and I kind of wonder, though, too, if part of why we are seeing such more effort to stop what we're doing is because it actually is such a larger movement than anything in the past. There's something like the Grateful Dead, and it just kind of moves around. I mean, it's a global
Yes and no. From what I've seen, they have shut a considerable amount of it down. You look in the Bay Area, you know, 4 years ago, there was still home base, big, huge parties going all night, every weekend. Now there's barely a kiddie rave that goes, they end at two, you know, and there aren't that many of them. And now after what happened at New Year's Eve, the few that are even still in existence or maybe not existent. This summer I was in the Midwest. They shot a lot of that down. So there's they've pushed a lot of the bigger commercial raves that once existed into smaller venues and into venues that force them to end at two all over the country. The DJs that were getting flown around getting, you know, $1,500 gigs and expenses can barely get a gig now. You know, there's that. So there's the, in the United States, what was the big commercial rave scene, I think, is 75% gone already. I think that the horrible promoters, you know, and a lot of that angle is overplayed. You know, if you look nationally at how many people have, you know, died a year from supposed club drug usage, it's not that many. You know, every incident gets played up really big, and it makes it seem like it's more pervasive. But, you know, even the situation at New Year's Eve, they still haven't even announced what those two kids died of. I haven't seen it in the media anywhere, you know, and so, you know, we don't know. Was it DXM? Was it something that was preventable? Was it because we don't have the same situations in undergrounds. F&F probably doesn't have someone going around selling DXM, you know, which adds other complications. So, yeah, obviously there are, you know, there are some commercial people that don't care and they're all about money, but I don't think that that's, I think the government has their own agenda and they're not that worried about the kids. Yeah. Maybe some people are within public health, at whatever, you know, obviously, but I don't think that's really what's fueling it because there's just not that many incidents. 17 a year, 15 a year in the United States, it's not an epidemic. What they're really fueling it more on is these claims that one MDMA hit causes brain damage and stuff like that, more so than the deaths. Yes, and that was the first thing that we did with even the dance clubs was to try to professionalize it all, you know, and from just dealing with your neighbors to whatever your public health thing is, you know, it's clear that, I mean, there's a responsible underground and then there's just people who do whatever and then there's, you know, everything else has become an industry now, you know, even the big raves, and so... what I'm doing right now with Skills, because they're trying to do an event in May. They're the ones that the police wanted them to have 50 officers. Is we're working with the public health department. You know, because what's really at stake now is the future of any kind of events like that. The Cow Palace is history. There's basically Bill Graham and there's the concourse left in San Francisco for doing an event of that nature. Everything else in the Bay Area has already been shut down. So we have done that with the city. You know, we've the police had already had some dealings with Cool World, and they felt that they weren't the most responsible group. So they already had that notion in their head that, well, maybe not everyone is like that. So to some extent, the this upcoming party in May is going to be a bit of a trial, you know, and we're taking every measure possible, from bringing in the public health department to having an MD on site, not just an EMT, you know, or a whole group of EMTs. You know, we're doing everything possible to show that they're prepared. And then, you know, if something does happen, things happen. They know that, you know. So part of the standard that we've at least been able to get in San Francisco is, you know, did you take whatever precautions could be taken to reduce any harms that are possible? And so that's going to be their defense if something does wind up happening, that we had the public health department there. We had everything possible that we could do. And, you know, this is, it's just in the nature of life that young people experiment. We're trying to educate. We're trying to deal with it. And that's what I think anyone who's attempting to do those kind of events that doesn't do that is a fool. And they're probably not going to last very long in this climate.
We had a couple more questions come through.
Yeah.
Ian and then Bob.
Yeah, well, that's what, and let me get back to this for a second, because we're going to whip through this so quick.
Get the last question before.
Sure.
Is the question still appropriate? Still apply?
Let's bring it back, because if we're going to stay on time, we have about 13 minutes left. So we have political organizing, which can be either reactive or proactive, sometimes both. If we have an event and an incident occurs, we're in a reactive mode, and that's where a lot of the stuff that we talked about earlier was really good. We have to learn to use the media just like the police do, because they do. I brought a little thing here. It says, this was yesterday's Examiner. It says, pub predators. Alarming spike in date rape druggings has police monitoring San Francisco's bars and clubs. Right. This is this narcotics captain. They feed all this information to the media, and the media, you know, there's really no data in here that this is even going on. But, you know, the media buys these things, including terms like dope predators and, you know, just all kinds of horrible stuff. So, you know, we have to take the opportunity to do that in our own way. I brought another thing in here. This was just a thing that happened last week. There was a group in San Francisco called Gay Shame. They had a protest of Gavin Newsom at the Gay Lesbian Community Center, and it wound up into a battle with the police. And so there was an attempt to spin what happened. The Gavin Newsom side tried to spin it as in they rushed the cops, and the cops did, you know, just defended themselves. And the kids, and these were all a bunch of 21-year-old kids, very sophisticatedly got the media to buy their framing of it, which was that the police way overreacted. And so part of what we have to be prepared to do is, when we have our events, is to document exactly what happens if the police do show up and if there is any kind of overreaction, so that if they're going to try to use that against us, we can do the same thing to use it against them. These kids had a great photograph of one of the kids with, you know, blood dripping down. You know, people look at that and they say, the cops were out of line. Boom. They don't even have to read the rest of the article, you know. And so we're capable of doing somewhat of that, too. I did it myself. I'm going to get in a little bit to Some of you all followed the saga of New Year's Eve at Somar Gallery. 2 years ago, I tried to do a New Year's Eve party there, and the police used a lot of bureaucratic means to string me along, and I didn't understand the laws well enough to really challenge them on it. So basically they called a bluff and put me in a situation where I would have had to go to court in order to challenge their interpretations that they were making. And I wasn't prepared to do that yet. You know, to really challenge them on the levels that we need to challenge them on, I was at it 2 years last year and wasn't ready yet. But this year I was ready. Anyway, last year I managed, when they did cancel my event, I got some good media. I got Party Poopers Prevail, New Year's Eve dance event canceled, the permit catch 22, cops can't dance. You know, I got some good media in there, and that's what we have to learn to do. When they challenge us like this, we have to up it and take it to the same level that they do. In the meantime, though, over the course of this year, I kept studying the situation. I learned what interpretations they were making that I could challenge. Worked on it all year. I got a letter from the city attorney's office. I had them review what happened. This is all short of this is more what you would call a political solution to the problem versus a legal solution. I could have immediately gone to civil court and asked for an injunction to try to stop the police from what they were doing to me. It was so complicated. I had a week before New Year's Eve. I don't think I even could have gotten a judge to understand it all, because it had taken me two years and I didn't quite all understand it all. And this is the level that we have to work now. I went to the city attorney. I got them to make an interpretation of just the issue, and I got a statement from them saying, nothing in the police code precludes an applicant from applying or the chief of police from granting a permit for one night. The police lawyers insisted they could never grant a permit for one night, and SOMARTS didn't have permanent permits, so we could never do an event there. Even though they had let us do no a night, a year and a half before, they said, no, we never should have done that, and we're never going to let you do it again, blah, blah, blah. So they tried to use building codes against me. I got a letter from the chief building inspector saying the building was safe. I got a letter from the Board of Supervisors, a resolution commending SOMARTS for its contributions to the culture of the city. And then finally I went to the Board of Appeals and worked it and got them to issue a ruling that said that SOMARTS should be allowed to have a place of entertainment permit because they're a unique facility under a freeway, and the fact that they can't contain noise should not be used to shut them down. So when I went back to the police lawyers this year and they didn't want to let me do my event, I basically said, I will be in court this year. You guys called my bluff and I backed down this year. Just understand, if you try to do this to me again this year, we will be in court and this will be in the media, and I have enough material to make you look really bad. Guess what? They never came by the whole night. We partied. They didn't even come by, you know. But then, 3 weeks later, Joe Bullock tried to do an non-salon party there, and they totally kicked his ass and put him in the situation where he had to go to court. And, you know, I was so swamped that I couldn't take it over, and really, I tried to do what I could do for him, but he really needed to take it to court, or the Late Night Coalition would take it to court. And we have 5 months before the Entertainment Commission takes over, and we're totally occupied making that happen, so we kind of let it go. But it just goes to show you the level that we have to fight for our rights. But as we're learning how to do this, we can do it. We did it on New Year's Eve. They didn't even come by the whole night that I know of. Well, you wouldn't believe how complicated the whole bureaucratic structure is and what we've had to deal with and why it's taking so long. But technically, the lawyer for the chief of police is the city attorney. But at one point in time, they had formed a police legal group which was supposed to basically deal with subpoenas. Yeah, but then this guy kind of, they took more and more power to where they started issuing all of these edicts that are really not in their authority to, you know, but challenging them is not a simple thing. And what we're doing now is we're trying to get Chris Daly, who's our friend who's in charge of the budget, to cut the funding for the police legal and abolish the whole department whatsoever. Because this guy has been a prick. He has. I have been fighting with this guy. He still won't acknowledge a one-night permit, even though I have a city attorney letter that you know. The problem with dealing with the cops, though, is that there's, you know, there's 2,000 of them. And some of them are way cool, and some of them are not. And so it's you just can't run and file lawsuits every moment, because then you lose the cooperation of the ones that are fighting for us. So you really have to pick and choose what you do. And so, you know, I'd say in Oakland, you know, you guys may, Oakland's been fairly laissez-faire about this, but you all may wind up having to do the same thing of getting all these kinds of connections and working your way up. And we've worked our way up to the point where we had Willie Brown at 1015 Folsom the other night. We had both candidates that were running for mayor. We had the district attorney candidate. We had like 20 politicians, assistant chief of police, and the deputy chief at number 2 and 3 in the department. And the deputy chief is very likely in a year going to be the chief. And so that's why I'm not suing the lawyer because this guy's going to be the chief in a year, and he's been way cool and he's been fighting for us. And even at 10:15, I said to him, I said, dude, what? Can't you guys control this guy? He's like, John, he's stubborn. He's not going to back down on you. I said, so find a way around him, basically, is just what he told me. But 2 minutes. Oh, my. Okay. I figured that we weren't going to be able to get through all this stuff. But anyway, a lot of you guys know about what we've done politically. But what I think is going to have to happen if the feds come in and do what we think they're going to do is we're going to have to put together large legal teams to challenge them. I don't think that, you know, it's been one thing challenging them on all this permit stuff, and we've just about won that one. We're going to have the entertainment take over, the commission take over in the fall, and, you know, but then this police are still going to be able to enforce the drug laws. And particularly with all the money and everything that's being funneled down, you know, I think they're still going to push that in the clubs and probably in the undergrounds. And if we do manage to beat them and do a one-night permit and we do a big, giant rave, you know, I mean, maybe they'll stay away from our events if I'm there because they know I'm connected to all the political people, but that doesn't mean that they won't hit Skills or they won't hit the other events, you know, so we really have to coalesce as a community even more. We have to get away from this notion that, you know, some of us are underground and some of us are really responsible and some of us are just commercial people and the clubs are all blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all about the right to assemble, and the police don't make those differentiations of friends and family are responsible. They don't think that. We're all a bunch of druggies to them. And so partially we have to get away from this notion that we're not all in it together. And you know, maybe it won't be that bad. You know, maybe they'll decide to work in other cities and not work in San Francisco because it's so liberal. But if it's not, then we're going to really have to take it to another level and probably file some federal lawsuits. Because, you know, a lot of what they're doing is unconstitutional, you know, routinely. But they put us in the situation where we have to challenge them on what they did that was unconstitutional, you know. So, like the crack house law case, you know, it got thrown out, but that guy had, you know, $500,000, people had to raise money, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we did that, and the ACLU stepped in, and that kind of killed it for a year until they come back in the next guys. So I think, you know, we're going to need lawyers at our events, or minimally, you know, we have to keep upping it another level. We've got the political support. What we've done, for instance, with Mark Leno, 3 years ago, he was barely known. We made the choice to back him. We backed him with lots of money. We got him reelected. He did every piece of legislation for us. He's taken entertainment permitting out of the police department's hands. Now he's in the state assembly. We helped him to get elected there. He's the chair of the public safety committee in the state assembly, which means that he controls the state narcotics officer's budget. And he also, any federal rave bill will have to go through him, and he'll be able to kill it. So that's okay. So, you know, it's it works. What we're doing works, but we have to up it to more and more levels as the people that oppose us are upping it to more and more levels.
We've gone to our maximum time now. If we have any questions, we can ask them if they're super quick. If not, then maybe we could you could corner John later. So I'll take one there and one from Gooley.
It was killed. Yeah, not been revived. What we did find out through having Mark Leno as the chair of the public of the safety committee was the Narcotics Officers Association, who wrote that bill, just came back with another bill, and Mark shot it down already. It never even went public. But they were attempting to exempt. You know, we passed a state bill that if you were caught with minor amounts of narcotics, you would go into treatment rather than prison if you're a first-time offender. They wanted to create an exemption that the so-called date rape drugs, ecstasy, GHB, wouldn't count in that, because if you have a date rape drug, you're not having it for personal use. You're having it to slip to somebody else. They actually created a law and tried to pass that through just in the past couple weeks. It didn't even go public because Mark just completely shot it down. But they'll be back with the state rave bill, particularly if they got to get it through Mark. And I don't think they can, but the federal one's going to come back. Continue doing what we're doing. We're going to make the Entertainment Commission happen, and we're going to keep our political support and see what happens. I'm warning people of what may happen. I think people in the underground should just be very careful. You know, the situation at the underground space this past weekend was a situation where a very pretty young narcotics officer went to a guy who had GHB for personal use and got him to give her some, and he was charged. So they're even into that level of it. It's not just that they're targeting people that are drug dealers. It's just a different level. I want people to be careful and just keep contributing to the cause. We need fundraising this next year. If a crisis happens, everyone has to be ready to respond and deal with it. We don't completely know how yet, but.
Okay, Scott, is your question fast?
We do really have to continue with our local legislators about fighting the drug laws too. I mean, as the comment over there, you know, there are a lot of people that are against the drug war, but we're dealing with a hugely well-funded PR apparatus now, you know, and so we have to continue to fight on the local level.
Eddie, and then you. I think his hand went first.
Thank you. locally, my last comment, we have an opportunity now because the economy is so bad. We have an argument that we can make of why are the police wasting money on this kind of stuff. You know, Ascension, the party at 10:15 was, you know, a total freak show. And even Willie Brown was there and he just said, you know, this is what San Francisco is really about. And so we have an economic argument that, you know, the culture and the artist, we have to push the art, push the performance, push that whole element to the media and to the authorities that, you know, this is a culture and an industry, not just a bunch of freaks doing drugs. We really have to push that angle. And the media keeps getting that angle. The politicians get it.
I don't think we can take any more questions. We've gone over time quite a bit here. Like I said, if you have things you want to talk to John about, maybe you can corner him later. But I hope this brought up a lot of discussion and thought for everybody. Thanks, John.
We can, those of you that are on our various email lists, we can continue some of these via email next week. Go online and give the Late Night Coalition money. Me? You know. Do benefits for us. Ascension raised $5,000. We've been so busy trying to make the Entertainment Commission happen, we haven't really done much fundraising, and our money's getting low. So throw parties for us. That's what we do best. Yeah.
We're going to take a 5-minute break and then come back for the final panel.